The name of the message is A Friend of God. Turn, if you would, to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Now, we've been looking through this wonderful epistle. Some people say it's a legal epistle, but it's not, as we've seen. It's a wonderful epistle. It's an epistle of freedom and liberty in Christ. And it speaks of the work of the Holy Spirit in us, what He's doing in us. And not of anything we've done, but what He's done, His mighty work. And last week we looked at two examples of faith without works, or faith with works, which was Abraham and Rahab. And again, this is brought forth. Remember, the true penman of this epistle and the true penman of all Scripture is the Holy Spirit of God. He just uses and moves holy men of God to write the Scriptures. And again, those people are only holy in Christ, just like us. We're only holy in Christ. And they're just like us, sinners saved by the grace of God. And we've learned so far in our study that these works which James speak of in no way justify a man before God. They are evidence of a salvation, evidence of a work that's been done in us by the Holy Spirit of God. And these works are a result of God's regenerating power. It's the Holy Spirit working in us. Remember, we looked at, now you love the gospel. Now we love the gospel. We didn't love it before the Lord saved us. Now we love the brethren. We didn't love them before the Lord saved us. Now we love the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior of sinners. We didn't love Him before He saved us. We may have known about Him. We may not have shaken our fist at Him and cursed His name, but by our actions and our sins, we were showing that we were at enmity with God. But now we have peace with God. Peace with God in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. So with that in our minds, let's turn to James chapter 2. We'll be going back to verse 23. We finished chapter 2 last week, and I didn't tell you that we're going to be going back to 23 today. But I already knew that, and I figured, well, if the Lord wills, we'll be looking at this verse, and here we are today looking at this verse. And I was so blessed putting this message together. It's incredible what we're going to see here. James chapter 2, where we're going to read verses 21 to 24 to get the context of verse 23. It says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? And remember, we looked at in Genesis 15:6 that Abraham was justified way before he offered Isaac up. He was justified by faith, God-given faith. So this justification here isn't talking about his justification before God. Again, it's talking about his justification before man, as we've looked at in this study. And it shows you that faith works. Faith is obedient to God. Obedient to God. True faith. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by his works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, there is the key right there, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called, look at this, the friend of God. And then it says, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Now I'd like us to consider this little phrase in verse 23 this morning. This little phrase, this incredible statement, this incredible title given to Abraham. Not because of anything he's done, but because of the grace and favor of God. Remember the scripture says Noah found what? Grace in the eyes of the Lord, right? That's what every one of us have found, right? That's what Abraham found. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And it says, and he was called the friend of God. What a blessed statement. This is incredible. We see here brought forth the fact that Abraham was called the friend of God. And what a title. What a title given to him among all the sons of men. Can any title in this world come even close to that? I'm talking about the highest office in the world. Can it even come close to this, being called a friend of God? Nothing compares to it, does it? Nothing even comes close to it. The highest title in the world doesn't even come close to being called the friend of God. The friend of God. Turn, if you would, to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, and then put your finger also in Isaiah 41. 2 Chronicles in Isaiah 41. We will see here in the Old Testament the fact brought forth that Abraham was a friend of God. A lot of commentators believe this is where James found this and bought it and penned it out, but we know it's by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, because the same author wrote the thing in the Old Testament, this fact, as he does in the New Testament, right? The true author is God the Holy Spirit. Look at this in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 7. And it says this: Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land? So remember, the Canaanites were driven out before the people of Israel when they came into the land, before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, look at this, thy friend forever. This is in the Old Testament, it says this. Now turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 41. What a title. Could you imagine being called the friend of God? That's amazing. Look what it says in Isaiah chapter 41, verses 8 to 11. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. What promises right there in that verse? Hey, that's for us too, you know. That's for us, those promises too. And it says, behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. And they that strive with thee shall perish. But look what it says in verse 8. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. What a statement. So James is bringing forth what the Old Testament scriptures proclaim. And he's doing this again by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Because again, these men pen the scriptures, but the true author is God the Holy Spirit. And the scriptures declare this wonderful truth in Abraham's history and life. Prove by his actions that he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, he was a sinful man just like you and I, right? But he was a sinner saved by grace just like you and I. And it says here that he was the friend of God. The scriptures declare this very clearly. And think upon this, that the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, the one who has saved his people from his sins, did you know that he declared that his disciples were his friends? Turn, if you would, to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Now we who are the blood-washed saints of God and the servants and bond slaves of the Lord Jesus Christ, we delight to serve him, don't we? We delight to serve him. We delight to come and hear the gospel preached and proclaimed. We delight to gather together and worship our great God and King. But we're seeing this verse that we're more than just servants. We're more than just servants, beloved. Look at this, John 15, 15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. This is God in the flesh speaking. And he's speaking to his people. And he says here, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Not known unto everybody. And think of what he's made known unto us. He's revealed himself to us, hasn't he? He's revealed to us that he died for us 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross. Wonder of wonders. And note what the Lord is saying to his disciples here. And let your heart rejoice, beloved of God, at these wonderful truths that he's telling us. That we're more than servants. We're his friends. We're his friends. Now a master, back in the master and servant days that way, a master would keep himself distant from his servants. And they would, by his command, do his bidding or her bidding without explanation and without argument. And they would be rewarded according to their productivity. But oh, how much different is a friend? How much different is a friend? Think of we have acquaintances, right? But how much different is a friend to you? A friend's someone you love. A friend's someone you confide in. A friend's someone who you communicate all the time with. Now, you may go long distances between communication, but you pick up right where you left off when you get together again. I've seen that happen with Grace folks. I'll go down south, haven't seen anybody for 5 years, and then we're sitting across the table, and it's like we just talked again yesterday. It's amazing. But oh, how much different is a friend, one whom we love, one who's been taken into our confidence, one who we reveal our plans to. You know, Christ reveals himself to us as we are able to receive it. We see through a glass darkly right now, beloved. But then, face to face, Sister Louise is seeing Christ right now, face to face right now. We're still looking through a glass darkly. Oh my. And he reveals his almighty purpose to us as we can bear it. And his almighty counsel and the great designs of his almighty grace. And as he reveals these things to us, as we're growing in grace, we just grow in awe and wonder of who our great God is. Of the great sacrifice that Christ made on Calvary's cross for us when he redeemed us with his precious, precious blood. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 17, just a couple chapters over from 15 there. Christ has made known himself to us, to his friends. And what has he made known to us? His glory, his gospel, who he is, why he came to this world, what we are. He's revealed all these things to us. We didn't know them before, did we? I thought I was doing okay. Until the Lord revealed himself to me. Oh my. I'm just a sinner, and I desperately need Christ. Look at this in John 17, verse 6 and 7. 6 to 8, actually. I have manifest thy name unto the men which thou gavest me. And he's, remember, these are the disciples, these are his friends, which thou gavest me out of this world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I come out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. There was a time when we didn't believe God sent the Son. We didn't believe that he was God. But oh my. Or we had a warped interpretation in our own minds of who we thought God was. And then when he reveals himself, what do we find out? He's entirely not like us. That's what we find out, eh? We are animated pieces of dust. Remember that dust you see floating? Just think, that's like us. We're just these little pieces of dust to the Lord. And yet he has mercy on us. He has mercy on us. Think upon this. Be astonished at the fact that our holy God, He condescends Himself and comes down to sinful men and women and are their friends. And He gives His life for them. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And Christ laid down His life for us, for His people. For His people. Think of this. What grace, what mercy, what love would drive Him to come to this sin-cursed world. In His sight, the heavens aren't even pure. He's so holy. He charges His angels with folly. And here in the Scripture, He calls a man, a fallen man, a sinful man, His friend. What is man that Thou art mindful of him? What are we that God's mindful of us, little wee pieces of dust? Or the Son of Man that Thou visiteth him? Who among our sinful race can be worthy of this title? The friend of God or a friend of God? Who's worthy of this? No one. Abraham would be the first to tell you he wasn't worthy of that title. The disciples would be the second and the first to tell you too. They weren't worthy of that title. We would be quick to say we're not worthy of that title, are we? Not at all. Who can attain to the friendship of Jehovah? Well, none of us. None of us can become His friends by anything we do. We are His friends by His grace and His mercy in Christ Jesus. That's the key. In Christ. Beloved of God, we are certain only the grace of God can make us friends of God. Only the grace of God can make worms like us God's friend. Only the grace of God. Isn't that wonderful? The grace of God has done that for His people. Wonder of wonders that man can be taken into the friendship of God. And again, this is only by a very gracious act of Jehovah. A very gracious act of our great sovereign in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God does not need any friends outside of the Blessed Trinity. He does not need anyone else outside the Blessed Trinity. And yet the Scriptures declare that Abraham's a friend of God, that the disciples are friends of God, and we know that we're friends of God too, as God's people. And we'll look at why we know that, because we have communion with Him. We have a relationship with Him others do not have. It's incredible. And it only comes about by the grace and mercy of God in Christ. So we see then the method of entering into friendship with God is graciously appointed by God. And it's all according to His mercy and His grace, which was shown us when He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And what does that do? It gives God all the glory, doesn't it? It gives Him all the honor, and it gives Him all the praise. Again, He didn't need us. And yet He chose us in Christ. And as Abraham was called a friend of God, we are called the friends of God. It's absolute only in Christ, and it's absolutely incredible, isn't it? It shows that on no ground can we claim acceptance with the majesty of heaven. On no ground of our own can we have absolutely no ground of our own to expect acceptance with God on anything we do. Nothing. The only acceptance we have with God is in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is something he has devised. And it's something that he has enacted. That which he planned and purposed, he's put into action, hasn't he? And it all comes by his wisdom and grace. And then it's manifested to us. Isn't that amazing? We who are the people of God have had manifested to us the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ died in our room and place. That's wonderful. That's absolutely incredible. And again, we can claim no acceptance before God based upon anything we do. Salvation is of the Lord from start to finish and everything in between. It's all of him. And so then by the exercise of God-given faith, we believe the word, don't we? We believe the testimony now of what the scriptures say. I was talking to Vicki last night and I was saying, man, everything I've learned, everything I know about Christ, all comes from him. I was talking to a friend who came in. He comes in, stops in, talks to me once a week. And I said to him, I said, man, you need to start coming to church here. You're agreeing with me more than you're disagreeing with me now, like this. And he said he'd probably come for a conference to hear Donnie. So, but I said to Vicki afterwards, I said, I went upstairs and I started thinking about the conversation I had with Jim. And I thought, I didn't know any of this before the Lord saved me. I was totally clueless. And here I am now testifying of Christ and what he's done. Isn't that amazing? That all comes from him. Everything we know. And the only reason he's showing us that is because we're his friends. He chose us in Christ from before the foundation of the world. He's chosen to have favor upon us. That's amazing. God's grace is incredible. And so now by God-given faith, we exercise that God-given faith. We believe what the Word says. We believe what the Gospel is about. We believe when the preacher stands up, we rejoice now. We rejoice. I got to listen to a few messages this week at a conference in Rescue, and I was able to listen. And, you know, I was just sitting there soaking it up, rejoicing in the Word being preached. It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. And now I believe. Now you who are the people of God, we believe that Christ justified us, don't we? We believe that our only acceptance with God is in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we believe that? Because God's revealed it to us. Why did he reveal it to us? Because he chose us in Christ. Because he's showing us favor. You only really reveal things to true friends, don't you? About yourself. They really know who you are. Well, actually, I remember hearing Spurgeon say, the only one who really knows who you is your husband and wife and your kids. They really know who you are at home and everything. But still, a close friend, you reveal a lot to them, don't you? They're someone you can confide in. Look what God's done for us. Look what he's revealed to us. He doesn't reveal it to everybody, does he? But he's revealed it to his people. Who he is? The Lord Jesus Christ, God incarnate in the flesh. Why he came here? To save his people from their sins. Where he is right now? He's a risen Savior in heaven. Seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. And he's coming again sometime. He's coming again. Because he's told us. He's told us in his word he's coming again. We believe it, don't we? We're just waiting patiently. Whether he comes at our time of death or whether he comes again when we're alive, we're waiting for him. We're waiting for him. Now let us consider the foundation of this friendship. It's all of God. It's all of God. Abraham's friendship with God all comes from God. God condescends to his level. The Lord Jesus Christ came to this sin-cursed world. He's the one who condescends. He is the effect of Abraham's friendship with God. It all comes in and through him. But it is God's friendship which is the sole cause of this friendship, because it's based upon his everlasting love that he has for his people, which is the cause of this wonderful friendship. Consider how sweetly the Lord proved Abraham's faith by the trial of demanding his son. This shows that true faith has properties, doesn't it? It believes God. It trusts God, because Abraham believed that God could just raise his son up again. So the question for us is, are you trusting Christ for the salvation of your soul? If you're not, then you're lost and without hope in this world. You may hope in yourself or something you do or something you said, like praying a prayer. But let me tell you, if you're not trusting Christ, you'll leave this world condemned and go into everlasting torment. So again, what think ye of Christ? What do we think of Christ, each of us individually? Not what someone else believes. What do I think of Christ? Well, he's my Savior. He's my substitute. He's my Redeemer. He's my wisdom. He's my sanctification. He's my redemption. He's my righteousness. He's my King. He's the Bishop of my soul. Hallelujah. What a Savior. He is the only Savior of sinners. In him. In him alone is salvation. So what think ye of Christ? He's everything. The believer says he's everything. He's all my salvation. Christ is my all in all. Why? Why has Christ become our all in all? Because he's our friend. He's a friend that, what, sticketh closer than a brother, right? Remember the scripture says that? Rejoice, beloved of God. You're a friend of God. Not by anything you've done, but all according to God's mercy and his grace. We're a people, what, saved by Jehovah. We saw that last week, right? We're a people saved by Jehovah. So now let's not overlook the design of the Holy Ghost in this precious record of Abraham. These things are examples, because every son and daughter of faith is like manner the friend of God, and proved to be by the same effects. Am I speaking to someone who's truly born again, who like Abraham hath been bought to believe the record God hath given of his dear son? Then you know God's friendship as Abraham knew God's friendship to him. He's proved himself to be a friend, hasn't he? Oh, he has. Before we were saved and after we're saved. Oh, my. And my dear brother and sister in Christ, what was it that caused this friendship but the ancient, everlasting, unchanging love of God in Christ? That's the only thing that caused this friendship. And remember that this friendship with God's people is so dear to God. So dear to him. We're so dear to him that he gave his son for us. That's how dear we are to him. That he gave his son to die in our room and place. That's how dear we are to God. He chose us again in Christ before the foundation of the world. So what's the cause of this wonderful blessing? The everlasting flowing streams of God's love, grace, and mercy. That's the cause. And it is because of this wonderful friendship. And remember, this is an unalterable friendship too. Now, friends in this world, we have them, we think, oh, we're real close to them, and then they're gone. But you know what? God doesn't operate that way. He's always our friend. He has been from eternity. We needed to be reconciled to God, right? And praise God that in times we thought we should have died in this life, right? And we can all look back at that and go, man, I should have died there. But God preserved us, didn't He? He kept us. And I look at times before the Lord even saved me, and those things happened. But He had appointed that I hear the gospel. He appointed that I'd be regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God, and the same for you too. Why? Because we're His friends. Because His everlasting love has been set upon us. Now, think of this wondrous friendship again as the cause of the Holy Spirit's regeneration of us, of our soul. We didn't know about this friendship, did we? We had no clue. We had no clue. Usually a friend, you know a friend, right? You have a friend, you know him. We didn't even know we had this friend. And what a friend. He's a friend like no other. He's a friend like... But we didn't, in our natural state, we didn't know we had this friend. Didn't have a clue. Didn't have a clue. Didn't even see our need for this friendship, did we? I'm good. No, you're not. No, I'm not. Let's bring it personally, right? No, I'm not. There's none good but God, eh? My. And we were altogether unconscious of this friendship. And we were unconscious of our desperate need for this friendship. Oh, my. And the fact that God has mercy upon us and cause His face to shine upon us by the salvation of our souls in and through the Lord Jesus Christ and by the regenerating power of God the Holy Spirit and by clothing us in Christ's righteousness, does not this prove God's friendship to us? Him doing all those things, does it not prove His friendship to us? It does, doesn't it? Because we are so undeserving of all that. My, what a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. So let us not shrink back too from this comparison. Because one might say, well, Abraham, he had great faith. Oh, he had great faith. Yeah. But if your faith is weak and tried and tested, even though our faith is not so grand as that of the Father of the faithful? Have you made no sacrifice to the Lord? Have you no Isaacs, no offering to give up on which the natural nature would wish to lean? We've given up things, haven't we? We've sacrificed things. Not our son, like Abraham was going to do, but there's things that every believer sacrificed. Does not every regenerated child of God indeed and in truth sacrifice his Isaacs and all that natural man would cherish? Natural man, they're all about themselves and all about whatever they can get. We've sacrificed all that, haven't we? That's not important to us anymore. We're being stripped of everything so that we might glorify in Christ and his salvation. Remember, it's not the greatness of our attainments, but it's the Lord's love for us, which is the source of this friendship. It's not about anything we do. It's about His love. He is strong. We're weak. And He saved us by His mercy and His grace. And we quickly discover that the Lord's friendship is not based upon anything in us, no merit, no deserving. This friendship finds its beginning and its end in the fountain of God's grace and mercy. Here's some things to think upon to end this. Think upon these facts. As a friend of Abraham, or as a friend of God, Abraham was favored with divine direction, and by faith he followed that direction. The scripture says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And we're only good in Christ, but he orders our steps, doesn't he? He directs our paths. As a friend of Abraham, or as a friend of God, Abraham had intimate communion with God. We have one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And we can go talk to him anytime, can't we? We can cry out to him anytime. We don't have to go in a room and shut the door and pretend to be holy and humble. No. We can be working on the yard or working outside and driving in the car and praying to our King. We could be walking through a mall praying to our King. Isn't it amazing? We can commune with him anytime we want. We have, and think of this too. We have access and communion with God in and through Christ as well. And as a friend of God, there was, in the case of Abraham, submission and obedience to the divine will of God, combined with trust in the divine promises of God, that what God said he would do, he would do. And beloved of God, we come in humble submission, don't we, before our great God. He brings us low, and we come in humble submission to our great God. And we seek to walk in obedience to our wonderful, merciful Savior. We trust his divine will in our lives. And we love the promises of God, which are all yea and amen in Christ. And lastly, as a friend of God, Abraham was looking for a full and final happiness in God. The Lord was his Savior. The Lord was his Redeemer. He was made righteous by Christ. And it's so for every single born-again, blood-washed believer. Marvel at this wonderful truth, which we've looked at today. Each believer in Christ is a friend of God, in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And all because of God's mercy and his grace. And all we can say is praise his mighty name.